This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Has everybody calmed down from Jalen Hurts top 10? Or we're still on it.
We're still on it. By the way, really interesting thing with the player futures in the NFL, the MVP odds. Of course, Patrick Mahomes is the odds on favorite at plus 650. Josh Allen is second at plus 750. Makes sense. Joe Burrow third, plus 900. CJ Stroud and Jordan Love are tied for fourth.
Love that.
Tied for fourth.
Love that.
Tied for fourth.
Not surprising.
Yeah, not surprising.
I think every single thing that people say about the Packers this year, you could say about the Texans.
Okay, behind Brock Purdy, behind Justin Herbert, behind Lamar Jackson, behind Dak Prescott. Got it. Okay.
Packers and Texans will have the same commentary all year. All year. They're the same team. Telling you. Both ways. Packers and Texans. What did I say? I said it 10 times.
Say it again. I was actually talking while you were talking.
I noticed.
Sometimes that happens. Yeah.
The Packers and Texans, to me, whatever you're going to say about one team this year, you're going to say the exact same thing about the other team. They're the twin brothers.
I don't know about that. I'm
telling you.
Here's the thing. I think the NFC North will be more closely contested than the AFC South.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah. First of all, the odds in the division just bear that out, right? From top to bottom, 1 through 4, they're more closely tied than any other division in all of football.
The Bears are a wild card. Yeah. I don't really know what they're going to be, what the quarterback
situation is. Yeah, but here's the thing. The Bears are plus 375 to win the NFC North.
Plus 375?
Yeah. Mm. That's what I'm saying. Mm. The Packers are plus 200. I think the Lions are plus 150, mm-hmm. something like that. So they're all right there.
Wow.
Tune into NBA Action Sunday, Bucks and the Suns, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 12:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We had a busy day yesterday in and around the NFL in terms of some of the moves that were made. The Bears traded a fourth-round pick to the Chargers for Keenan Allen. Chicago has a win-now skill position set of guys now. When you look at Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, and DeAndre Swift, that's pretty impressive. The Chargers now are looking at a situation where, with the fifth pick in the draft, maybe they take a wide receiver there. The Chiefs sign Hollywood Brown, formerly of the Cardinals and the Ravens, and Seattle trades with Washington for Sam Howell. Three of the biggest moves made yesterday. Guys, which one jumps out at you the most and why amongst these three moves?
Well, the Sam Howell one jumps out because that feels like that's another place that Justin Fields could have been an option, and mm-hmm. that's no longer a viability. It's no longer viable. Like Sam Howell has filled that chair. Backup quarterback to Geno Smith could be the long-term solution at quarterback for the Seahawks. I thought that was a place where Justin Fields could go, but now that's off the board. So, I mean, when are the Chicago Bears going to cut their losses and unload Justin Fields? It's already a sunk cost. You're not going to get anything close to the two first-round draft picks it took for you to acquire him in 2021. So why not move on, clear the decks, and get ready for your franchise quarterback who you're taking with the first overall pick?
Yeah, it seems like a very poor decision to have them both in the building at the same time. So they need to move on from him. It's just where? Who's going to be the dance partner? How much lower are you going to make the asking price in order for you to make this move? And in that same vein, the other one for me was Keenan Allen to the Bears. They're clearly fortifying that offense, putting proven weapons there for whoever the quarterback will be, presumably Caleb Williams. But the Bears have gotten the draft and develop quarterback situation wrong so many times, and now it really feels like they're putting pieces in place, hopefully stability in place, for whoever that person is presumably Caleb Williams, to come in and be able to have space to succeed.
Yeah.
The other one that I want to bring up that's a weird one from yesterday, Desmond Ridder for Rondell Moore. I know that's a random trade. I like when teams bring in young – I don't think Desmond Ridder is very good. But I also think a year off could help this guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He started in this league. He's young, and he's still cheap. I like that. As a flyer. Why not?
I like actually putting Rondell Moore
The other way, right? So now I think it's a win-win. If you look at Rondell Moore, he's short and shifty and fast.
Choom, choom, choom.
And
choom, choom, choom.
Think about this. Kyler Murray, not yet a big-time quarterback in this league. Kirk Cousins statistically has been better than Kyler Murray. I don't think anybody's going to debate that. But in the 3 years that Rondell Moore has been in the league, 54 catches, 41, and 40. Not a Hall of Fame player, but this is one of these moves where, like, you could see a couple of big games from this guy for the Falcons this year to really help them.
Mm-hmm. I really like their receiving core now. I mean, Drake London, Darnell Mooney, who's a 1,000-yard guy, Rondell Moore, who's going to be your third guy at the receiver spot. But then you got Kyle Pitts, too. I mean, Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier.
Yeah, like they're sneaky.
They've got a good skill position core down there.
Yep, and that was one that I liked yesterday. Yeah. How about the Bills? We haven't talked about them. Curtis Samuel to the Bills yesterday. They bring in another wide receiver. They lose Gabe Davis to the Jaguars. There's no rumors yet about something that we speculated about. Money doesn't work with this, but we thought maybe the Steph Diggs-Josh Allen pairing was going to go in separate directions. Does not seem like that's the case. Do we like Curtis Samuel to the Bills here yesterday?
Yeah, they had to replace Gabe Davis, but I also think it's going to be Khalil Shakir stepping up and being their number two receiver, and then Gabe Davis being their third receiver in their receiver room. So it's a good move, but I mean, it's not like they didn't anticipate needing more juice in their passing game and losing Gabe Davis. That's why they went out and drafted Dalton Kincaid in the first round last year, right? And so teams that can anticipate what they're going to need a year out and that draft ahead, draft when they want them, not when they need them, I think they put themselves in a position of strength. And that's clearly what the Buffalo Bills did with the weapons for Josh Allen going into 2024.
The other news yesterday in terms of the NFL, moves that were made or just notes, was the idea that now the league has confirmed they are going to look into the tampering with Saquon Barkley and the Eagles, as well as Kirk Cousins and the Falcons. I don't know what look into means, because, I mean, are we going to voluntarily not find anything on purpose here? Because we know what's up, right? I mean, let's be honest. Unless it's a team that they wanted to get for something else, they're not going to voluntarily do this. This is one of these you get the mobster on tax evasion kind of things, right?
The Saquon Barkley of it all is interesting.
But though, is there right? something else?
Here's the thing. It's not just Philadelphia. It's Atlanta in that.
With Saquon?
Yeah, it was interesting. They were looking into Atlanta as a part of that too, which is
strange. No, for Cousins, I thought.
For Cousins?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because remember Cousins at the press conference talked about the conversation
previously. That actually makes sense. But here's the thing. I don't know that they're going to find anything.
Well, do they want to find anything?
No, they don't want to find anything. Right. Why would they want to find anything?
I don't know.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Unless they had something else they
could
get somebody
on. Maybe that's
on.
Something that they have to do to check the box, but they're not going to find anything because this is the best thing going for the NFL. They wanted to stretch out the calendar to create intrigue every single month. It's when they don't have football, you got the combine, you got the league year, you got free agency, you got draft speculation, you got the schedule release in May, like you got OTAs and mini camp. Like, you try to build it up as much as you can. I mean, out of the 12 months in the calendar, the NFL owns 10 of them.
I would argue they own 12.
Every time of the year is football season. Why would you want to quell that in any way, shape, or form by actually being punitive to the teams that might be overeager?
You don't want to.
The NFL rarely gets in their own way when it comes to stuff like this, when it comes to stuff that keeps them in the news cycle from a fanfare perspective. So maybe they have to put stuff out this like that to alleviate questions from other people around the league, but I can't see them in any way doing anything that would negate the positive vibes that they have specifically from these two moves.
All right, so of the top five picks in the upcoming draft, four of the top five teams made moves that we've just discussed yesterday, and I want to go through these teams and what yesterday's moves tell you about what they could do in the draft, okay? So the Bears have one. They trade for Keenan Allen, but really I'm talking about nine now. Are we eliminating wide receiver as a possibility for the Bears now that they got Keenan Allen to pair with DJ Moore?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do it, at least not early in the draft, right?
So not at nine?
No.
Not at nine, no.
Okay.
I think they added Keenan Allen. They needed to address it. This gives them the flexibility to trade back from nine if they so choose, right? To acquire more draft picks, because I don't believe the Chicago Bears have a second round pick. And you had mentioned it before. They don't have a ton of draft capital beyond the first round, beyond the top 10. So I think they need to fill out their draft by trading back from nine.
Okay, so you just led me to something. So we have been looking at 11, 12, 13, and maybe 14 as how do these teams get up? Minnesota at 11 just lost Kirk Cousins. Denver at 12 does not have a quarter. Jared Sittum's their quarterback, probably not for the long haul. The Vegas Raiders at 13, who we know brought in Gardner Minshew, but also know want to move up potentially, and maybe New Orleans at 14. Now we just gave them a trade partner. That if one of those quarterbacks, probably the fourth one, J.J. McCarthy, slips to nine, that's where you take advantage of that with the Bears. You call those teams, you maybe move back. That's maybe part of what we learned yesterday. Two with Washington. We knew that Sam Howell wasn't going to have a chance to start this year. They bring in Marcus Mariota. They make that trade. He goes to Seattle. They now have six of the top 100. That tells you what about what they're going to do with two, if anything.
Well, I think that gives them the ammunition. If they want to try to do the dance with the Bears and move up one slot to take Caleb Williams, mm-hmm. they could do it. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that they will, because I don't know how Chicago could justify not having their pick of quarterbacks after they passed on last year's quarterbacks, but they could offer Chicago something that the Bears can't refuse. I mean, think about it. Look, you've got multiple second-round picks, multiple third-round picks. I mean, and you're only talking about going back one slot, so you're guaranteeing yourself at least one of those top three quarterbacks. It could be really enticing, the trade package that they could put together for Chicago. And the impetus for the Commanders would be drafting Caleb Williams, being able to pair him with his offensive coach, Cliff Kingsbury, and bringing him back home to the D.C. area with the new owner in Josh Harris. This would give the fan base something to get excited about, and they need something to cheer about given the two decades of futility that they had under Dan Snyder. Like, this would be an awesome move, and I think this would engender a lot of good faith toward the Commanders fans.
So, yeah. Go ahead.
Can you imagine him on billboards there? I mean, it feels like it could happen. I'm in a space with Washington where I don't think the Bears will accept it because they cannot get this wrong for a multitude of reasons. Mm-hmm. Because they haven't had a quarterback in decades, because Justin Fields went wrong, they passed on CJ Stroud, they can't get this right. They cannot get this wrong. They have to get this right. I don't think that they would accept it from Washington because they have to get it right. But I'm in a space where I don't think that that's going to preclude Washington from trying.
Three with New England didn't do anything yesterday relative to some of the moves. Four, Arizona. It's interesting. So Marquise Brown left. He did not go back. He goes to Kansas City, a nice addition, low cost for them. And they traded, like we just discussed, Rondale Moore. Not that anyone thought that those two guys would have any impact on Marvin Harrison Jr., but if anyone thought they would trade out of that pick and allow somebody to trade up, it is more likely than not that does not happen now because their top two wide receivers from a year ago are no longer on their team. So Marvin Harrison Jr. seemingly can buy a house in Arizona right now. I think he's good on that one. Yeah. Now, fifth, the Chargers here. Let's finish up there with this. So the Chargers yesterday trade Keenan Allen. They previously had released Mike Williams. They restructured with their two big defenders who everybody was talking about with Bosa and Mack. At five, we know that Harbaugh, with Greg Roman as his offensive coordinator, likes bully ball, right? Even though you have a big stud quarterback in Justin Herbert, they like to run the football. There will be linemen available at that pick. Are you assuming that the Chargers now, without their two wide receivers, are going to go receiver at five overall? Based on the moves we saw yesterday.
No, I think they're going offensive lineman. I think they're going with Joe Alt. Like, Joe Alt is a mountain of a man, 6'9", 320 pounds, and ran a sub-540. They're not passing on that. Like, if you think about how Jim Harbaugh wants to play, think about it. Before he became the head coach, the San Francisco 49ers drafted not one but two offensive linemen in the first round, Mikey Potty and Anthony Davis. Mm. Like it just feels like that's the direction that Jim wants to go in. I mean, when he got the job, he drafted Alden Smith in the top 10. Like, he's gonna focus on building up the trenches. So I think that is an offensive lineman over a wide receiver.
But Herbert needs some weapons.
Yeah, well, he does need some weapons, but they drafted Quentin Johnston in the first round last year. They've already talked about potentially bringing Mike Williams back on a lesser deal. So we'll see what ends up happening there. They've got Donald Parham Jr. Like, they've got some players that he can work with right now. And if Justin Herbert is who we all think he is, then he'll be able to elevate the talent that they have in that skill position core, so long as you keep him upright. And I think having bookend tackles does more in terms of moving Justin Herbert's career forward than adding another shiny new toy at the receiver position. Having Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt as your bookend tackles, that is an offensive, and Jeremy Salyer, who's another really good player in his own right, as an interior offensive lineman, all of a sudden you feel good about what the Chargers are doing to protect Justin Herbert.
Huge weekend coming up this weekend in sports, specifically college basketball, NCAA tournament selection show on Sunday night. Conference tournaments going on right now. Joe Fortenbaugh will join us next. Pick some games for this weekend, and including day games today, which I know everybody gets excited for day betting, and some people for day drinking as well. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click, Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
NCAA tournament coming up this weekend. Tune in tomorrow night. Selection show, excuse me. Tune in tomorrow night for the Big 12 championship game, followed by the ACC championship game presented by Robinhood. Coverage begins at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Virginia with a nice win last night.
Number three team in the country.
Yeah, Duke not so much.
NC State beat them, right, last night. Joe Fortenbaugh is the host of Carlin versus Joe, along with Chris Carlin and ESPN Bet, and he joins us each and every Friday, and he is with us today. All right, we got to have you weigh in, because you know this stuff better than anybody. The Dallas Cowboys keep talking about all in. How does Joe Fortenbaugh define all in life?
Great to be with you guys, as always. Great topic of conversation. I mean, I was a poker player back in the day. I had one little run that I went on. That's kind of a long story. We can talk about it somewhere down the line. But, I mean, back in the day when you could play online, right before Black Monday, I think it was called, when the government shut everything down, you know, I was grinding. Like, that's why I failed the bar exam. I was too busy playing online poker. And then when I went to take the bar, I ended up missing it by, like, 3 points because I didn't put nearly enough time into it. But story for another day. Oh, all in is very simple. You take your chips and you shove them to the middle of the pot trying to win the hand. That's it. You either lose them all or you win them all, depending on what happens with the hand and how much your opponent has in that respective pot. So when the Cowboys are out here talking about all in and then they're not actually doing anything, I see them as all talk. That's all that's happening here. It's just the latest soundbite for all of us to discuss what they're up to. And the fact that we keep talking about it because they keep trying to explain their definition of all in, fascinating to me, because it shows you why the Cowboys aren't really contenders. Like, the real contenders, there's like 8 to 10 of them every year. They're out there working on their roster, either the top end of the roster, or they're working to improve spots 40 to 53, always looking to get better. The Cowboys are just out there talking, giving you sound bites, entertaining people. And they're a great entertainment vehicle, just like the New York Jets are a great entertainment vehicle. But they are not a serious contender. So treat them for what they are. They're entertainment. They're not a player.
Joe, I'm curious, because the Philadelphia Eagles are making the moves like this is a franchise that's all in. But yet the odds don't necessarily reflect that in Vegas. Right now they have the second shortest odds to win the division behind the Dallas Cowboys. So what's your take on that, and why haven't we seen the odds shift more considering all of the moves that the Philadelphia Eagles have made?
It's a great question, because Dallas is your favorite. They haven't done anything, and people are very weary of the coaching staff because we've seen McCarthy flop in big games. But the thing is, Dallas is probably going to return most of the team we remember from last year. And while we mock McCarthy for not being able to win in the playoffs, he does win in the regular season, 3 straight years of 12 wins, right? And that's what a divisional odds bet is based on. We're not talking about the postseason. We're talking about the regular season. So if you want to bet the Ravens in their divisional odds, it makes sense. If you want to bet the Ravens in their Super Bowl odds, that's where you have to have pause, right? So that's what we know about Dallas. Philly's intriguing. 2 years ago, they were very, very good, but they played nobody and they were very healthy. Last year, they completely fell off a cliff. There was no leadership to speak of down the stretch, no way to stop the bleeding. Head coach looked like he was completely underwater and lost. So now they spent a ton of money this offseason to upgrade the roster. Here's my theory. The Philadelphia front office is spending a lot of money to upgrade the roster so that they can say, if this falls apart, hey, we gave you all the ingredients you needed, Nick Sirianni, to go win football games. You couldn't do it. Don't blame us. You're out. We're staying. That's my thought process. I like Saquon Barkley. I just don't really remember Philadelphia spending a lot of money on the running back position outside of DeMarco Murray, and that didn't really work out very well. So I think it's very intriguing what they're doing right now, and I think it sets the stage for who's going to take the fall if it doesn't work out this season.
Joe, we've got some big college basketball games coming up. I know you have some plays for us. What about some day bets for college basketball?
Finally, a real question. Thank you, Smalls, for getting to business here. This is what we want to talk about. I got three for you. I'm going to save the best for last because I know you're an alumni of the Illini.
Yep.
So we'll save that game. Best bet of the day for me, Florida plus 4.5 over Alabama. Okay? I wouldn't be surprised. Florida could win this game outright. They are getting a great price here. They were 2.5-point home favorite over Alabama back on March 5th. That's like 2 weeks ago. They're a 2.5-point home favorite. Now we move to a neutral, and we're shifting the price by 7 points. That's an overcorrection, all right? Florida won that game against Bama that I was just speaking about by 18 points. They have played Alabama very tough this year. At Alabama, they lost by 5 in overtime. They gave that game away. Gators were sloppy yesterday in that win over Georgia. 11 turnovers, 18 missed free throws. That's going to be your point of emphasis. I like them today. I'm not going to be the least bit surprised that they beat Alabama outright. In addition to that, I play St. John's over UConn. People are going to think I'm nuts. Huge spread, 9.5 for the Johnnies. Keep this in mind. When they met at UConn, the Huskies were laying 11. Now they're on a neutral, and it's 9.5. Again, that's too many points. St. John's has been playing really well since they blew that 19-point lead against Seton Hall. Rick Pitino chewed out his staff, chewed out his players. We talked about it on radio the next day. Since then, 6-0, winning by 16 points per game, and they smoked Seton Hall yesterday. And then finally, the big one, Illinois, your team, Smalls. They've got, I'm scrolling through my notes right here, they're playing Ohio State. Yeah. Ohio State red hot. What are you doing here, Smalls? Do you like your Illini?
Of course I do, Joe.
That's it? That
great analysis.
Like, oh,
should I not? Should I not? I mean, they're a higher seed. Of course I should like them.
You should. I just wanted to set you up, see where you were at there.
I'm loyal
like
to the
them.
Soil. Come on, Joe.
I know. I've been betting Ohio State since they fired Chris Holtman. They went on a run, an absolute run. They've been a fantastic team during that stretch. But now I think they're starting to become a little overvalued, and this is where you jump off the train and you play Illinois. Look at what Ohio State did yesterday. They played Iowa. They shot 51% from the floor, 55% from three-point range. Those are not sustainable numbers. And when those numbers come down and they start missing shots, the offense is going to struggle. Enter a rested Illinois team that's been playing some great basketball down the stretch. I would lay the 4.5 with the Illini.
Love that.
You know, there's some big news around here. I don't know if you guys know this. That involves Joe Fortenbaugh with
what?
Us.
Oh, my What's gosh. That?
Well, we're all going to the draft in Detroit, right?
Yes.
And we're going to be there for the Thursday and Friday shows. And CC is doing the draft on radio for ESPN Radio.
With Fortenbaugh's teammate, Chris Carlin.
Yeah. Well, I guess there was some sort of trade that was made that if you and Carlin are doing the draft, he needed something to kind of even it out.
Okay.
So he's going to be co-hosting with us for a couple of days.
Oh, wow. Great. Oh,
I don't know how I feel about that, actually.
Oh,
maybe
know,
one day.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
Joe, welcome to Unsportsmanlike officially coming up next month.
In classic ESPN radio fashion, not consulted on this. No one asked me anything about it. They just tell me. I did morning radio for 6 years in San Francisco. Suddenly everyone thinks Joe Fortenbaugh's waking up at 2 a.m. to get on the airwaves again. Yeah, I'm excited.
We're going to have fun.
It's going to be a good time. It's going to be good to have the heavy boys back together. You put Carlin and Canty together. I don't know if you're going to find enough space in Detroit to host that radio show. That's a lot of mass right there, gentlemen. That's a lot of mass.
I don't appreciate you bringing up our weight, Joe. And I feel like you're trying to body shame Carlin and I. I might have to take this up with
Carlin,
HR.
You take good care of yourself. Maybe I'm just talking about Carlin.
No, I don't know. You lumped us in together. I mean, if I could find HR, I don't really know where it is. I would file a complaint against you. I would.
Well, we're excited. We're going to be at the draft in Detroit.
No, I'm not excited about Joe Fortenbaugh sitting in my chair. I'm not excited about that.
Do we have any rituals?
I'm not excited
Do you guys
about
have
it.
Any morning rituals before you go on the air? Like yes. Notre Dame walking out of the yes. tunnel, they all touch the sign. What do you guys do?
Yes, you will notice that when we do the show together, at some point between the moment we go get down to the location and we go on the air, Michelle Smallman will hurt herself.
Oh.
At some point, she will trip. Something will fall on her. She will cut her finger. Every single morning, there is an issue with Smalls where she gets injured.
I'm clumsy, Joe.
Yeah, and Joe, I use my same routine from when I was a player, a tortall shot and a cup of coffee. Get my caffeine. We're ready to go.
Works every time.
There it is. Every time. Works every time.
Joe Fortenbaugh.
I'll give the tortall a try.
Oh, cool. He's going to be on drugs during the show. Great. Noon until 3 Eastern time with Chris Carlin. Of course, ESPN Bet. He gives you all of the advice for the weekend here on some of the day betting today. And he will be a part of Unsportsmanlike with us in Detroit for the draft. Joe, thank you so much.
Very much looking forward to it. Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Joe. Can he or can't he? Brought to you by Grainger. Next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority.
Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Kenny?
Oh,
or Canty?
This is not hard-hitting analysis. It's not that.
Can he or Canty?
That is the question.
All right, time for a round of Can He or Canty, brought to you by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by today. Smalls?
First up, can he or can't he? Can the Lions challenge the 49ers for the NFC? The Lions are at plus 550. 49ers sitting at plus 225.
Yeah, I'm going to say they can. I'm really digging what the Detroit Lions are doing this offseason. I mean, going out and getting Marcus Davenport and DJ Reader, fortifying your defensive line, getting some guys that can give Aiden Hutchinson some help up front, and then you took care of the back end of your defense. That was the sore spot on your team. They were suspect. They didn't stop anybody. Trading for a corner like Carlton Davis is going to give Aaron Glenn a lot more flexibility in terms of the different schemes, the different coverages that he can run when he's got a guy that's really good, really solid corner that you could depend on playing at a championship level. So yes, the Detroit Lions, as I see it, should be viewed as the favorites to win the NFC.
You know, it's interesting. They extended their head coach and GM yesterday, right? And Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes. We're talking about top 10 quarterbacks a lot today. We didn't put Goff in there.
Yeah.
I don't think we necessarily should, but he's closing in, I would think, if he has another big year.
Yeah, I mean, but I think they're just a really good team. Like, think about it. They had, what, 5 All-Pros on their team last year? And they're only getting better. Think about how young the Detroit Lions are, especially at key positions. I mean, this is an up-and-coming team. They're going to be formidable. They gave the San Francisco 49ers all they wanted. Remember, they did. So, I mean, this is a situation now where you got to be bullish on the future of the Detroit Lions. I think they're, what, plus 550 to win the conference?
Yep.
So, I mean, they're going to be a team that has something to say about who comes out of the NFC.
All right, next one. Can C.J. Stroud, quarterback Houston Texans, win the MVPs? Plus 200, fourth best odds right now after a week of free agency here.
You know what? I love C.J. Stroud, but it's Patrick Mahomes. Like, I can't get past the Patrick Mahomes of it all. Like, he's the odds-on favorite. He deserves to be the favorite for a reason. Mm-hmm. They got rid of the most explosive player in the NFL in Tyreek Hill a couple of years ago, and all Mahomes has done is won back-to-back championships, and he won an MVP in the regular season in that process in that two-year span. I think it's Mahomes' award to lose, and I just don't think that C.J. Stroud is going to be able to put together the kind of season that will rival that.
Next one, can Jim Harbaugh win Coach of the Year? Plus 650.
Ooh, I don't know. Coach of the Year for Jim Harbaugh? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I think that the Chargers will be a lot better. I mean, they might have the biggest swing in terms of what their record was this past year. I think they were 5-12 in 2023. I can absolutely see them being a double-digit win team somewhere around 10 or 11 games, but they're not going to win their division. And if you don't win your division, are you going to be the coach of the year? I think it just becomes that much harder in order to accomplish that. So I'm going to say no.
A quick follow-up on that.
Go ahead.
Do we think that the rest of the league and the voters will do what we've done, which is just separate the Chiefs from the rest of the league? In other words, if you finish in second place in the AFC West, that's actually like winning the division in any other division. Let's say the Chargers go from 5-12 to 10-7, and the Chiefs win 12 games. Isn't that winning the division? I'm being dead serious right now. I'm looking you in the eyes, and I'm saying we should actually consider that winning the division.
No.
I mean, the Chiefs are too good.
Yeah, but we're not giving everybody orange slices here, Evan. You got to win your division.
You got to win your division.
If you're telling me if Jim Harbaugh goes from 5 to 10 with how much people are going to
want
to vote for him for Coach of the Year,
they might
and the only team ahead of him is the Chiefs.
Let me ask you a question.
He's winning Coach of the Year.
Did we give Josh Allen any grace because he didn't beat Patrick Mahomes? No.
No, but people looked at him in a different way.
I'm just saying, I don't. Maybe this year we'll consider it encouraging, but I don't think you'll be able to win awards just because you came in second place.
Now, here's the thing. I'm saying he's got to win the division. Kevin Stefanski, who won Coach of the Year last year, has won the award not once but twice, and each time he didn't win the division. Yeah.
And they probably looked at it as, well, Lamar wins MVP last year. You can't beat that, and they got John Harbaugh on that defense. So, just saying.
But he's got Justin Herbert, though. That's the difference. Like, Jim Harbaugh has Justin Herbert, and Kevin Stefanski had Baker Mayfield. And who did he have at quarterback this year?
Everyone.
Who didn't he have at quarterback is probably a shorter list.
Unfortunately. Wish I was. All right, next one. Can he or can't he? Brought to you by Granger. Can the Oklahoma City Thunder win the Western Conference plus 750? Just as a point of comparison, the Denver Nuggets, who are the 2 seed right now, are plus 165.
They got no shot. Like, I know that they have the same record as the Denver Nuggets. They got no shot. Jokic and Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon and all those dudes, they just have another year. They have another level. And now they've got reliable scoring off their bench with Reggie Jackson, not to mention Christian Braun. So I don't think they have a shot at being able to match what the Denver Nuggets are. Nobody controls the game, the complexion of the game, more than Nikola Jokic. And I can't believe I'm saying that, because usually you assign that ability to guards, backcourt players, maybe even the occasional wing. But Nikola Jokic, as the center, controls the flow of the game better than anybody else in the NBA.
Well, if you actually think about why we say guards, it is the same as Jokic, which is what is an amazing compliment. The guard is the one that is getting everyone else involved.
Yeah.
This is the rare case of the center that gets everyone else involved. It's the same exact reasoning, but just different sizes. We haven't seen a guy like this. Bill Walton is the closest guy we probably have ever seen from a passing big to get his teammates involved when the Blazers won the championship in 77, I want to say. And that's like that's the last time you could find an example like this.
He's going to win his third MVP over the last four seasons this year. He's going to win it.
And he's not someone that pushes for it.
No.
There are guys that you know are chasing stats and chasing awards. This dude ain't it. He just plays the game the right way. And that's not to suggest that other guys like Giannis and LeBron don't play the right way, but he like extra plays the right way.
But he took over the Heat game in the fourth quarter, and he wasn't the guy that was scoring.
I mean, it's
he took the game over, and he wasn't the guy that was scoring.
Because he has an ability to get anyone involved that plays the right way off of him opportunities because of the threat of what he can do. He's one of the few players that people actually suggest, if he's dominating you, do not double him. Just do not.
Let him score 50.
Let him score 50.
Because that's not what he really wants to do anyway.
No, because if you either let him score 50 or he'll get three guys 20, which 60 is greater than 50. Thank you, University of Wisconsin. All right, next one, Smalls.
How insane is that, though? All right, last one. Can he or can't he? Can Russell Wilson make the Hall of Fame?
Ooh.
Saved a little spicy one for the end.
That is a spicy meatball, as Chris Carlin would say.
We're going to learn a lot about him this year.
We're going to learn a lot about him this year, but he's with a functional franchise that already has a good culture in place in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Tomlin starts the season at 500 or better. So I'm going to say he does, because the third act in Russell Wilson's career will take some of the stink off of what we saw in Denver, and I think it will be more reminiscent of what we got in Seattle in the early years when they were competing for championships. So I'm going to say that Russell Wilson, over the foreseeable future, might be able to have some of that magic that we saw with early Russ in Seattle. They go on a deep playoff run, win a couple of playoff games. I'm going to say he's going to make the case for him being in the Hall of Fame through what we see from Pittsburgh over the next year or two.
Wow.
I'm going to give you an extreme question on Russ. Okay, he's plus 15,000 for MVP per ESPN bet. What's more likely in your mind? He hovers around MVP conversation, or he gets benched for Kenny Pickett?
Benched.
But here's the thing. I think Russell Wilson has a chance to make the case to be in the Hall of Fame this season. I think he has that opportunity. Not saying he will, but if the Pittsburgh Steelers get in the playoffs, and there's no reason to think they can't.
Right.
if they can win a playoff game, I think we'll view Russell Wilson differently than we currently do right now.
I hate to make it so personal, but I think Russell Wilson, in, for this argument, like I think he should be in, but I don't think he is. He needs to make it Sean Payton's fault, not his. That's the reality. It needs to be that Denver's the outlier, not him.
If he goes to Pittsburgh and has success there, that will be the outlier.
Yeah, because Nathaniel Hackett, we know it was his fault, right? Like, we know Nathaniel Hackett has proven he's not a coach in the NFL at the head coaching position, like at that level. But if he goes to Pittsburgh and has any ounce of success, we then go to the place of Sean Payton, how come you couldn't get that out of him?
The pendulum could swing either way with this Pittsburgh stint. It really could.
Canty or Canty, brought to you by Granger. All right, coming up, we have Canty's best bets plus unsportsmanlike moment of the show. But first, True Green, it is that time of year. For the people in warm weather climates, you know it's summertime. People are going to be coming over the house. In the colder weather climates, you know you got to get your lawn ready if you're living in a home because it's been in the snow, in the rain, in the sleet, whatever it may be. Well, True Green is going to get your lawn ready. If you're ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank, True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. We're chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
So last night we won. That's the second night in a row for the bet of the night. Appreciate the Oklahoma City Thunder taking care of business against the Dallas Mavs. We had the Oklahoma City Thunder laying the 6.5 points. They won by 7. We had SGA going over 29.5 points. He had 31. So okay. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. We're going back to the association tonight. And looking at the card, a lot of questionable games, a lot of 50-50 games. So when in doubt, fade the Detroit Pistons. Sorry, Jovante, but we're going to do it. Evans, Miami Heat going up against the Detroit Pistons. The Heat are on the road. We're going to lay the 4.5 points with the Miami Heat, and we're going to go with the under on 222.5, and that pays out at plus 114.
You know I hate this, right? Because the Heat have been stinking it up recently, 4 games in a row, and you know the kind of feelings that I have about the Heat with this kind of situation, and you have picked up on it, and you would think it as well. When they're supposed to win, they lose. And when they're supposed to lose, they win. It's why they're good in the playoffs. They don't play bad teams.
Well, yeah, the Pistons are coming off of a win on Wednesday, and the Heat are coming off of a loss to the Nuggets.
But they played well in that game.
No, I understand they played well. They still lost by double digits. I guess my whole point is that's going to be flip-flop. Like, the Pistons are allergic to anything good. They're allergic to success. They're allergic to winning. So I think we're going to see a regression back to the mean tonight.
All right, before we get to unsportsmanlike moments of the day, which I do want to get to because we have funny ones, I do have to give you this breaking news. Kevin Seifert, ESPN, has reported the Vikings and the Texans have made a big draft trade. Ooh. Minnesota is getting the 23rd pick in the draft and the 232nd pick in the draft, and Houston's getting the 42nd pick, so that's second round, 188 and a second in 2025. Basically, what you need to know is Minnesota has traded up to get into the first round with a second first round pick in addition to 11. So now they have 11 and 23. So if you are potentially a team in or around the top five, let's call it, I don't know, the Chargers at five, you could theoretically trade down to 11, get a tackle or a wide receiver, and then at 23, get the position you didn't draft at 11. If you're the Minnesota Vikings, you have your bridge quarterback in Sam Darnold. If you're interested in J.J. McCarthy, let's just say, from Michigan, you are almost guaranteed to get him at 5 unless Arizona, which I'd be surprised about, traded out of 4 and passed up on Marvin Harrison Jr.
So let me be clear about one thing. We're saying this is about the fourth best quarterback on the draft board, right?
That is
this
my
move, this
opinion.
This move by the Vikings is about positioning themselves to get the fourth best quarterback in this class. So yes. Drake May, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, those guys are locked into those first three picks.
Seems like it, yes.
Okay, so this is about trying to get up to number 5, maybe number 4, and get the fourth best quarterback.
Unless you think New England would trade out of that.
And that's the thing that comes interesting to me. If I can give you 2 first-round draft picks this year, a 1 next year, do you balk at taking the third best quarterback in this draft class?
So you're going to give me 11, 23 in your first rounder next year?
Yes. And you're starting,
I'm fine.
And they're starting a rookie quarterback and or Sam Darnold.
I'm fine shorting the Vikings, if that's what you're asking me, if I'm the Patriots.
But that's what you would be doing, in effect. Could you pass on that? If you're the Patriots, can you do it?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they have a choice.
So trading Mac Jones eliminated that possibility.
No, it's not even that. It's
what is it?
Moving on from Belichick. You have to give Gerard Mayo and Elliott Wolf the best possible solution as soon as possible. You can't just they're not going to have the same time. Like, nobody will have the same time as Belichick. Andy Reid is, and Mike Tomlin, well, I shouldn't say nobody. Nobody anymore. You don't have 2 in a row like that. Not everybody's the Steelers, where you have, like, 3 30-year guys in a row. It's ridiculous. So you have to assume that Gerard Mayo and Elliott Wolf are on the clock upon arrival.
Yeah.
Which may not be fair, but is reality.
Mm-hmm. But we're also assuming that they love the quarterback that's going to be left on the board at number 3. They might not be in love with that guy.
Okay, so here's
the thing. The Minnesota Vikings might be in a position where they're saying, you know what? We do love all 3 of the quarterbacks, and we are willing to trade 2 or 3 first-round draft picks in order to get them, including 2 picks in the first round this year.
I'll give you the way to do it if you're New England. If you believe that J.J. McCarthy is close enough to the other guys, right? But you have to guarantee you get him. If you do that trade at 11, you're not guaranteed to get him. Let them make that trade with the Chargers. Then you go down from 3 to 5 and you pick up next year's first.
Or maybe you like Michael Penix Jr.
Whatever the
difference between J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix Jr. ain't that big for them.
But you're still not guaranteed that you get him if you stay at 11. That's the problem. You have to put yourself in a position you get one of these guys. Because what's going to happen then if Minnesota moves up?
Well, no. What I'm saying is that what if you get one of those guys? Like, so you're comfortable with McCarthy or Michael Penix.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. So now you're talking about 5.
So you think 5 quarterbacks are going to go in the top 11
picks?
Well,
but listen to what we're saying. So if we're going to project out that Minnesota makes this trade to get into the top 5 to guarantee themselves the 4th quarterback, well, now all those other teams that we've sat here and speculated about, Denver, Vegas, New Orleans, they are going to do everything in their power to now have to move up again to guarantee they get the 5th guy if they're dead set on taking a quarterback, right? So if you're New England and you're even considering trading out of 3, the lowest you probably can go is 5, maybe 6. And if you're the Giants now, you know, are you
over? You got to be thinking about it.
Right. Are you saying, hey, Chargers, what can we do to flip-flop with you? Because we know you're now going to be talking to Minnesota. Right? And that's kind of where we're going with this. All right, time now for the unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, let's start yesterday. First take. Christopher Mad Dog Russo was on the air on First Take, and he introed some of his co-hosts with Stephen A. and Molly, etc. But yeah, these aren't their names.
Quite yet. We got lots to do with a consortment of folks, including our little pal there, Dominic. We have our good little buddy there, Windenhurst. Well, did I pronounce it right? We have some fun there with the Lakers.
Put me on camera.
No.
I gotta help you out. You already screwed up all our panelists' names.
He got both names wrong. Dominique Foxworth, he called Dominic. And Brian Windenhurst called Windenhurst.
I'm pretty sure he got Molly's name wrong, too.
Did
right?
he?
I think he mispronounced her last name.
Oh, my God. Only him.
Great.
Inside great. He's the only person in the history of broadcast that it's endearing when he gets every person's name wrong. It's unbelievable. Next one. Last night, TNT, Inside the NBA, Shaq, Kenny, Charles, Ernie. We learned that Shaquille O'Neal did a bit where he put hot tea in cereal.
I know a lot of doubt as to whether that's going to get there. What are you doing, man?
I'll wait.
No, you can't wait. Not when you're making noise and then opening stuff on camera. What's up?
They're going to talk about my boy, Ball Ball. They're going to talk about my boy, Ball Ball. While I have some delicious breakfast treats like I used to do back in the day. Yeah.
What would that got to do with Ball Ball?
This ain't no ball, dummy. Bowl.
But one's a bowl and one's
and
a bowl.
One's
bowl.
What does that got to do with cereal?
Cereal goes into what, dummy? A bowl. Bowl.
If you were really thinking, you would have had more than one bowl out here.
No.
Then you would have had bowl.
Okay, well, this can be substituted.
That's not a bowl pot.
This is a bowl.
So where's the milk for your cereal?
Back in the day when you didn't have no milk, you pour whatever you want.
No, you had
He poured hot tea in cereal. Smalls' face right now, for those watching on ESPNU, she's cringing from this.
Well, because the cereal will disintegrate in the hot tea. Kind of defeats the purpose.
You just go with just eating the cereal with nothing on it. That's what you do, dry cereal. Yeah, that's what you do.
Greedy up next. We're on to Monday. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.